Walked off. Well, did you ever hear the term raise Cain? Huh? Well, there was a whole field full of it raised that night. And the Lord had me just keep my mouth shut. But the next night, I went back to that revival. I went back. The Lord said, go. I went back. And I got back to that revival. Brother Hall said, saw me out there in the audience. He said, just motioned me. He said, come on up here, pal. Get up here and pray for me. Between your spirit and my spirit, we'll run off some of these other spirits. So I got up there and I prayed for him the whole meeting. When it was all done, and back then our meetings went until 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. They weren't these little wimpy things like we do up here. I can't wait till we get out of Morrisville. No offense, we get out of Morrisville, we're going to go till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. Those who want to leave can leave, but those who want to stay, they can see the glory cloud come in. Because that's what happens in those meetings. You see, in those kind of meetings, you get the summertime of comes. And then you get the I'm a gonna comes. And then you get those I'm a gonna stay and I ain't leaving until I get it. Amen. If you love the Lord, praise Him. Praise you, Lord. And when I walked up to Brother Hall after the meeting, and he took one look at me, and this about blew me away. Blew me away. Brother Hall was a Pentecostal holiness preacher. If I had ever known a holiness preacher in my life that lived holiness, Brother Hall was one of them. He lived so holy, he made Moses look like a sinner. I mean, this guy was fanatical holiness. Fanatical. I mean, if he caught a man and a woman walking out of the tent holding hands and they weren't married, their engagement was announced the next night. I'm serious. And he knew how to teach you faith. Because you didn't eat unless you had it. You didn't get nothing unless you had it. He come up to me and he stuck his finger in my face. He said, boy, get away from her. She will destroy you and your ministry. And turned and walked off. And coming from the mouth of a Pentecostal holiness preacher, for a man like that to say that to me, that was like an earthquake. That was like an earthquake. I could not believe he said that. And I went off. But I didn't obey. I didn't obey. And that which he said came to pass. Exactly what he said came to pass. And I repented, and God restored it. Now, I want to tell you something. There are people out there, and I've never been able to understand the religiosity of churches. I've never been able to understand the religiosity of churches. You can have an axe murderer come into your church who just happened to rape 47 women and 12 goats. Rob 47 banks and 3 department stores and a kiddie's gum shop. Confess Jesus Christ, hang on your neck, forgive him. 6 months later, he's a deacon. A year later, he's a preacher. And yet a man whose wife took off and left him because he believed on Jesus Christ and divorced him, that man was not forgiven. Now, what's wrong with this picture, Alice? What's wrong with this picture? Murder can be forgiven? And yet when a man is left single because of the gospel of Jesus Christ, he is lost. Come on, folks. What's wrong with the church today? Let me show you a little secret. Paul the Apostle referred to himself as a virgin. Am I right or wrong? Said, I would that you remain virgin even as I am. All right? Paul the Apostle. Before he was the Apostle Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus, who happened to be a member of the Sanhedrin. And he was doing the work of the Sanhedrin when he got caught by God. Amen? All right. Now, if anybody's ever read their Bible, they'll know that in order to be a member of the Sanhedrin, you had to have a wife and family. You could not be a member of the Sanhedrin unless you had a wife and family. That means that Paul was a married man with children. When he met Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus, but when he got over there and was teaching about wives and husbands and all this other stuff, when he got over there, he was no longer a married man. He was a divorced man. And you go down here to Baptist Church, you go down here to Methodist Church, or, well, I don't know about Methodist anymore. But you go down here to Church of God of Prophecy, and you tell them you're divorced, they won't even let you be a member of the church. What is the wrong with this picture? I thought my Bible says God forgive us all sin. All. Well, that's part of that religiosity spirit. I call it religiosity. I don't know what it is. It's Satan. That's what it is. Devil's gotten into the churches. Devil's gotten into the churches and made people get self-righteous. But I got news for you. God's raised up a preacher that knows how to take a hammer to self-righteous. If you don't think I know how to take a hammer, you hang around a few days. You ain't seen nothing. You ain't seen nothing. I've seen it. That hammer of God, it works. It breaks rocks. It breaks rocks. And that's what the church needs today. It needs some rock breaking. It needs some rock breaking. It needs some rock breaking. It needs some old heart rock breaking so God can put some flesh hearts in its place. It needs a resurrection. My God, we don't need a revival today. We need a resurrection. The churches are dead, but God is going to take them back. He's going to raise them up, and He's taking people that will hear Him, and He's going to empower them with His Spirit, empower them with His might. He's going to put the word of knowledge in them. He's going to put the word of the wisdom in them. He's going to put His Holy Ghost in them, and they're going to go forth and conquer. That's the Jesus. Hallelujah. I remember when I bought this tent. God blessed me with this tent. I want to tell you a little bit about it. I don't know why I'm doing all this, just the Lord telling me to. When I got this tent, Norwich University was buying a tent the same size. They paid something like $14,000 for their tent. I paid $1,800 for this. Brand new. Brand new. I called a preacher down in Florida by the name of Brother Wine. Brother Wine has an independent ministry and he builds tents for a living. That's how he supports his ministry. And I told him I needed a tent. And he said, all right, I'll build you a good one. This tent will withstand hurricane winds if it's put up properly. We ain't put it up properly yet, but... Bless God, we're learning, hallelujah. This tent is fireproof, mildew-proof, and everything else-proof, except bomb-proof. But with Jesus Christ, it can withstand anything. But that price was so cheap, I got to thinking, man, wouldn't it be nice to have a 60 by 100 or 200 by 300 or... Ooh, I could just see a football field-sized tent. Hallelujah. Why stop with a little old 30 by 50? The Lord said, no. He said, no. I'll show you why. Everyone in this room, whether you believe me or not, if you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, if you're here for Jesus, you're here because God has called you as a minister. And my ministry is to ministers. You're the ones that are going to take Morrisville. You're the ones that God's going to deliver the land into your hand. He's going to deliver it into your hand. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He told me you don't need a big tent because the big tents are for the salvations of all these people out here. But I'm going to send you those that are going to be my workers. I'm going to send you my prayer workers. I'm going to send you my preachers. If the preachers won't come, I'll send you people who I will make preachers. And you can sit there and you can think, oh, that ain't ever going to happen with me. But you watch. You watch. You watch. You see what happens. You see what happens. He didn't think he'd ever be a preacher. My God, you have to take the mic away from a man. He's been a Christian for 3 weeks. Not even 3 weeks. Yeah, 3 weeks. Been a Christian for 3 weeks. And already he's starting to preach. Already he's sharing the gospel. Amen. Hallelujah. This young man here, he became a Christian, and in 36 hours, he knew more about Jesus Christ and about the Word of God than most preachers do. It's our truth. It's our truth. Knew more about God, His power, and Jesus Christ than most preachers do. Why? Because God is raising up a people. God is raising up a people, and they're going to go forth. And they're going to conquer. Some of you people, stand up, John. Some of you might know him as Dick. Well, we didn't like that name. John's not much better, but at least it's, you get less trouble with it. That's your middle name, right? All right. Some of you people know this guy, amen? Have you met him? All right. But the guy that's coming to these meetings ain't the same one that I met a while back. This one knows Jesus. This one's on fire. This one's ready to preach. This one doesn't want to go out here and continue the way he was. He's ready to take the gospel out. He's ready to go forth and conquer. He's got a sword in his hand. He's got a shield in his hand. He's got a helmet on his head. He's got a piece of gold on his chest. He's got a girdle on. He's got shoes on. He's ready to go forth. He's going to preach the gospel. He's going to heal the sick. He's going to cast out devils. If you love Jesus, praise God. Hallelujah. Have a seat, John. Stand up, Warren. Brother Warren, 17 years ago, elder in the Presbyterian Church. Elder in the Presbyterian Church. Very proper. Brother David. We believe. Very proper. Made me nervous. I'd come in a room, he'd stand up. I'd sit down, he'd sit down. I'd get up to go get a glass of water, he'd stand up. I began to look around to see where my dress was. I said, Brother Warren, would you please sit down? Don't worry about it. We're family here, praise God. Very proper man. Very proper man. Got hit with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Got hit with the Holy Ghost. Went crazy. Started running around the house, shouting and screaming and carrying on. Everybody in the neighborhood thought he was crazy. They'd known him for years. This couldn't be that Warren Wilner. Amen. But God wasn't finished with him, you see. God wasn't finished with him. He still had that prim and proper. He still had that Presbyterian background. He still had that way of doing things. Well, I remember one day I called him up on the phone. He says, Brother Davey, will you be coming down for Holy Week? I said, Holy Week? Holy Week? I said, every day is Holy Week. Every day is Holy Week. Every week is a Holy Week. God is holy, and His days are holy. Don't you be talking to me about Holy Week unless you're talking 7 days a week. Amen. Amen. Preached a sermon shortly after that. I said, next time he says Holy Week, I'll come down there with a stick. I'll show him Holy Week. Two things we don't allow in our churches. Two things. One is a bulletin. How in the world can a man or a woman of God know a week in advance what God's going to have him say down the road? I don't know from 1 minute to the next. If I knew, I'd never come in here and say half of this stuff. If I knew what God was going to have me to say from one minute to the next, I'd stay outside. I mean, I got back after last night's meeting. I said, oh, my, I know I said some things. I got to hear it. And I went in, they taped it, and I went in and got a tape of it, and I started listening, and I started cringing. I said, I said that? I said, oh, my God, I said that? Oh, Lord, I didn't say that. Yes, you did. Oh, Lord, why did I say that? Because I told you to. Lord, you trying to get these people to kill me? No, I'm trying to get you to kill them. So I can raise them up. Kill the old man. Kill the old man. So they make room for the new one. Kill the old one. Make room for the new one. Well, praise God. First week we set up the tent, God spoke to me. He said, put the tent up. It was just like that. Put the tent up. Ricky was over at the office. We got a business over in Northfield Falls. Ricky was my son. This is my son up here. Give him a chair. Grew up in a Pentecostal church. Knew all the right things to say. Knew all the right ways to say it. Came up to our church. He started talking. People looked at me, looked at him, and said, what's the matter with him? There's something wrong with him. I said, yeah, he's got that old religiosity, but don't worry, God will burn it out of him. And bless God, he has. Amen. 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 All right. Did I tell you to sit down? Sit down anyway. We love God. Say amen.
Amen.
All right. Here's what happens. Got down there. The Lord spoke to me. He said, 4 o'clock. At 4 o'clock, he said, put up the tent. I called Ricky up. Ricky, you got to get over down there and do this and do that and get this and get that. And he said, well, they got the truck. I don't care if they got the truck. Go get it. Do this. 4:30, we started putting up the tent. It's about 4:30, 5 o'clock, somewhere in there. We started putting up the tent. We had our first meeting that night. None of us were in good moods, especially me. Have you ever seen a tent try to go up four ways and none of them right? I didn't know if it was a triangle or a Swiss cake. Sides, looking down the sides, it was like this. We finally got it up, praise God. Got it upright. And we got in there, and I said, Lord, you're just going to have to help me because I got a lousy attitude. And I got in there, and the Lord hit me. Man, praise God. We had a good meeting. Had a good meeting. I blessed God for it. All right. Then all that week, the same message came, the same message every single day. And I can't preach a revival unless I bring it up. The book of Jude. Now, I want to show you something. Jesus said, take heed. Take heed, lest any man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Now, you go to some of these cemeteries out here, and you go to some of these pastors, no offense to this lady, I'm sure she knows the answer, and you go to some of these others, and they'll tell you that he is saying, look out for the false Christs. Well, if he is, why did he repeat himself in the same chapter? Let me show you what he's saying. Imagine you're the disciples. I'm Jesus. Thank God I'm not. But just imagine I am for a minute. And Jesus is saying to the disciples, take heed. Take heed. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. But they shall deceive many. Do you see it? He was saying they would come saying he sent them. And they would say that he was, Jesus was the Christ. But still they would deceive many. Can you see it? Many shall come in my name saying I am the Christ, but they shall deceive many. They're not saying they're Christ. They're saying Jesus is the Christ. And they're saying that God sent them, but God never sent them and that God never knew them. Now, Jude talks about the fulfillment of that prophecy. That was a prophecy Jesus gave. And Jude talks about the fulfillment of it. He said, many have crept in unawares. Now, if I come in here with an orange robe, with bells on and a tambourine and my head shaved and a ponytail, and I'm dancing around looking like some kind of idiot, singing Hattie Hattie Krishna, you people turn around and look at me and you'd walk out of here. Amen? But you get a preacher come in a blue suit and a white shirt and a dark tie, and he's got somewhat kind of shoes on, and he starts preaching and all, you say, well, maybe this is a minister. See? He looks like a minister, talks like a minister sometimes, you know, preaches like one sometimes, but how do you know I am one? How do you know I'm not just coming here saying, the Lord has sent me, and Jesus is the Christ? How do you know I'm not deceiving you? How do you know that? I'll tell you how. You got the Word. You got the Word and you got the Spirit. You got the Word and you got the Spirit. I say you got the Word and you got the Spirit. Check it out. You don't trust nothing except Jesus. You trust Jesus. Now, prophet prophesieth and it cometh to pass, thou shalt hear him. That's the way it goes. If a prophet of God prophesies a thing, it comes to pass. If he convicts of sin, if he turns you to Jesus Christ, then he's a prophet of God. But if a prophet prophesies and it comes to pass, but he says unto you, let us follow other gods wherein ye have not known neither your fathers before him, you shall kill him. A false prophet will not lead you to Christ. A false prophet will lead you to yourself. He will build your self-esteem. He will make you feel good. I was listening to that Dr. Shula. Dr. Shula. One day said, people ask me why I smile so much. People need stroking and petting. And I stroke them and I pet them. I said, you stroke me and I'll stroke you. You better not come up to me with that stroking bit. I'll stroke some of you. I remember a brother in the Lord. The Lord's taking him now, but years ago we were at a church down in Florida. And we were walking along. This brother come along. He had this bad habit. He walked up in back of people. And he hit him right between the shoulder blades. Bam! He'd say, Jesus. And people fall down. He'd say, hey, they were delivered. One day, Brother Neil, we seeing that, and anybody ever hear of Father John Medeiros? He used to be General John Medeiros. He was the head of the space flight program until NASA took over. He found Jesus Christ, became an Episcopal priest, then got the Holy Ghost. Raised a man from the dead down in Orlando, Florida. Man was dead. They carted him off to the morgue to be wait for the morgue to get him. He come in there, and he saw this guy, and he didn't look so good. He didn't look so good. He was dead. And he was waiting for his person he was waiting to see to come out of the x-ray thing. So he walks into this room. He sees this guy and says, brother, you don't look so good. Well, bless God in the name of Jesus, be healed and rise up out of that bed. And the man just opened his eyes and started praising God. That hospital went crazy. They went crazy. Raised the man right from the dead. Hallelujah. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. That's the power of God. John Medeiros believed on the Lord. And he and I and Neil, we were walking down this thing one time. And this guy was doing that, and O'Neill says, oh, God, please, Lord, if you love that man, don't let him do it to me. Neil wasn't your average preacher. He was about Bill's size, had a big old beard, looked like Jack Elam. And he could look as ugly as Jack Elam, too. He could do those weird things with his eyes. He's walking along, you know, and we're just walking along. And old John Medeiros was old by this time. He was old. Brother Medeiros was old. And we're walking along. That guy come up and nailed him right between his shoulder blades. Said, "Bless him, Lord." Neil turned right around and cold cocked him right between the running lights. Said, "Bless him back." Boom. Laid him right out on the floor and said, "Well, he done been slayed in the spirit, I guess, huh?" Old Brother John just said, "Praise the Lord." Walked right on. You know, that guy never had that problem again. Got delivered. If you love Jesus, say praise God.
Praise God.
How many know that church is supposed to be fun?
Amen.
That church is supposed to be fun, and it's a time of learning, and it's a time of singing and joy and fellowship with Jesus and with one another, because you see, we're the body. We're the body of Christ, and we're practicing. We're practicing for heaven. That's what this is all about. We're practicing for heaven. Because what heaven is all about is talking about Jesus and seeing all the glorious things that God does and watching Him move and do great things. Hallelujah. I want to sing a song. Let's have a good song.